Blog Talk Radio.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA. Saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or boat. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Financial Talk with me, your host, Eugene Bias. As we go live on the air,
I want everyone to know that I'm actually experiencing some technical difficulties on the Facebook side. I don't know what it is, but I'll try to work through the issue. Tonight we have a very important show that I'd be very remorse if we didn't have it. I want to thank my co-host from last week for sharing with me and my audience what we have and what is going on. It's very important that we engage each other and we get an understanding for what is going on and how we're doing things and such the like. I would like to ask Plum Life and their staff who have been supporting us amongst other companies to continue to support us and our clients, that we will continue to make an effect in the industry. And be able to help families. I'm very passionate about it. And I would like to make it clear that I am passionate about it and doing what it takes to get this done. To accomplish our goals are very important. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to pay keen attention, listen well, because we are going to go into some very important discussion tonight that is very not only important for ourselves, but for our loved ones and our family. Our families are very important to us. And given that fact that our family is very important to us, we need to understand that we have to make sacrifices in life for our family. And as parents, we need to plan ahead for our family and friends, our children and our loved ones. So I encourage everyone to join our show and be a part of our show so they can learn more about finances and money and how they can set up a financial legacy for their their family and their loved ones. It's very important that that we know what we're up against. It's very important that we know what we're up against and we must be mindful. We must be mindful as to what we do, how we do, and where we do it. All right, for those of you who It seems like Facebook is working with some changes now. It's very important that we have these things in place and we're able to work these issues from time to time and have a great handle on what's going on or what needs to go on. Okay? At this time, I would like to thank all my listeners on the radio and on the radio and on Facebook for joining us week after week and listening and learning about what we do here and how we educate each other on how money works and how money is spent. How we can save, okay? Today's show is a little different, and today's show comes with a specific as to childhood illnesses, okay? We spoke about it last week in brief. I want to get into it in more detail because it's very, very important that we know what's happening and going on. It's very important that we understand what's going on, and it's very important that we are prepared for it, okay? Because it's something that we're seeing more and more every day that's causing our children, our loved ones, not able to be insured because they're not insurable at a very young age. And it can be prevented, it can be helped. And I think that I have an obligation to bring it to your attention where you can look after your loved one and prepare for that legacy. So with that, we're going to take a short break as I get our Facebook online, and I'll be right with you.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA. Saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or boat. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Right. Welcome back to our show. I'm your host, Eugene Byers. We're talking about money and how it works, life insurance, okay? And tonight I want to share with you that there are common steps that parents can take. Now, last week we spoke about insuring children being or minors are being able to be insured from the age of 14 days old. From 14 days old. I got a number of questions on it. I have a lot of responses on it. Okay. And it's something that we need to dig into. So I've just dedicated this segment just to that. Just to that because it's very important that we look after our juveniles, our young ones, our offsprings and our loin. So tonight we're going to get right into it. And it goes as follows. Do you know that before you buy a life insurance or a company decides to accept the risk, okay, because as we spoke about last week, it's transferring the risk, okay? We transform the risk from our household to the insurance company, okay, that if anything happens to our children, they can be taken care of, yeah? Now, we don't plan it. We don't know it. Otherwise, none of our children or our offsprings would enjoy the ability to be terminally ill. We wouldn't want our offspring to be terminally ill. Okay? So it's very difficult when we're faced as parents with these challenges of having to deal with it with our children. And then when an insurance company don't want to insure or take that risk. No parent want to think about their child becoming ill. Or worse, as responsible parents, it's our duty to prepare for all possible outcomes. All possible outcomes. When parents purchase a life insurance early in life, they are ensuring their child's insurability. They're ensuring their child's insurability. Okay? They're making sure that that child will be insurable for the rest of their life. Because once you have a policy, you don't have to prove insurability once a policy is issued. Now, there's something called a two-year look back where the insurance company is allowed to look back 2 years into your medical history to determine if they want to accept that risk of what was going on in your life in the past 2 years. Okay? But again, a 14-day-old child or a child that's that's born 14 days or later don't have a two-year look back. Okay? So if the child is born healthy, we should secure that child's future. Buying life insurance on a child will remove the following obstacles, each of which will increase their rate or even render them uninsurable if they were to apply once they're older. So they're very simple. It's pretty straightforward. Okay? Looking at the risk, looking at the obstacles in their life, and some of them are pretty common in today's day and age. Okay? And we're going to touch on a few tonight. I hope you guys give me your undivided attention and listen to me carefully, because this is a problem that we're seeing more and more that needs to be addressed in one way, fashion, or form. And for that to be addressed, we need to look at how it's being delivered and where we're working on it from, what angle we're working with it from. Okay? We need to know that. So we have to look at developing an adverse medical condition. When we say, or we'll get into each one individually, but we have to think about it now when the child is born, okay? We have to look at tobacco use in parents and that child in the future. Yeah? The avocation and occupation factors. What that child is going to turn out to be. Where their career is going to lead them. We need to know that. But since we don't have a crystal ball to answer those questions, then we have to live with it and plan for it. And then the big ones. The big ones, the ones we hear every day. Family history, heart attack, cancer, diabetes, and so on and so forth. Okay? We need to be sensitive to it. Children who develop medical conditions will most likely not, I repeat, not qualify for life insurance policies later in life. Okay? They most likely not qualify for life insurance later in life. Or at the very least, the premium will be astronomically high. Okay? Juvenile diabetes is an excellent example. Juvenile diabetes is an excellent example. I mean, I was listening to a show a couple of days ago. I was on the road, and I was listening to a show where they were talking about obesity in children and the different conditions that can be developed from obesity. Now, we all love our children, and you know, we spoil them from time to time. We give them some of the things that the doctor didn't order, or the health professional didn't advise for them to have, and they develop different conditions. They become overweight because they enjoy the things that mommy and daddy have still given to them, and we understand that. Okay, what we don't understand and plan for is the adverse medical condition, okay? The normal life we're expecting the child to have can change, okay? A harmful or abnormal result from an adverse effect caused by an administration of a medication or by exposure to a chemical, and can indicate by an untoward result, such as an illness or death. Okay? So we need to look at it. We need to think about it because this is health affecting. Okay? They're reversible adverse condition, yes. There's irreversible adverse conditions also. There's structural adverse conditions, and they're functional, which is reserved by the body. Sure, I agree with it all. But the question is, when will it come, and how will it affect your child? Okay, how would it affect your offspring, your loin, your loved one, your dependent? Okay, we need to take these things into consideration. Now, I believe that every parent is a great parent unless you show me differently. I am a true believer of that. Every parent is a great parent. You didn't have a child because you wanted to be a bad parent, but life happens. Either you spoil the child too much, or the grandparents love the fact that you had a child, and they step in and, you know, they give the child all the stuff that the child shouldn't have. And, you know, as grandparents, we tend to love our grandchildren a little bit more and try to do more for them. And, you know, children like to be with their grandparents for one reason or the other. It's before my time. But we have to think about, what are we putting into our children's body? What can be the outcome of it? Your children may one day thank you for allowing them to have their own life insurance policy in the event they become uninsurable. Think about this for a second. Your child have developed a medical condition after they have gotten a policy that you take out for them when they were young, and then they become uninsurable. At that point in their life, okay? But then policy on them as a parent, and you're able to make them to be insurable because you had a policy. okay? I have a client that shared a story about her parents purchased a life insurance for her when she was a child. 5 years ago, she had a kidney transplant, which left her ineligible for life insurance. Ineligible for life insurance. She had her first child last year, and now, because of the life insurance her parents purchased for her, she has protection for her income. Okay? Going back that in that direction. Her parents thought a simple decision made 30 years ago would have helped her in such a profound way. Think about that. Did our parents know that? They didn't. But they made that decision for their child. Okay? They made that decision 30 years ago for their child. Okay? So that was able to help that family, okay, and protect her during that time. Okay? So we need to think about that. We need to consider that when we have a child, and how do we protect that child? Okay? What are the limitations when choosing a profession or advocation? Is it educational or trade? The skill level? Certainty of one is limited by his or her level and area of education or change or training. When choosing a profession, after detecting one aspirities, one should channel himself or herself into an area where they're both talent and skills in order to be qualified for a position. I agreed 150%. Okay? I agree 150%. What I don't agree with is when you take a position that's very risky, your risk becomes higher. Okay? You take a career before you have a life insurance, and you become insurable because of that choice you made. Okay? So these are things that we need to take heed to. We need to pay great heed to in looking for our children and thinking about our children. Now, there's some people feel that the consumption of tobacco products, it's okay. Some people feel that tobacco use, primarily cigarettes, remain the leading cause of preventable illness and death in the United States. They're not my stats. They're not my stats. It is a major contributor to death, cancer, heart disease, lung disease, among other things. So what are we doing to our loved ones by consuming tobacco products? Now, I had a client tell me I only chew tobacco. Yeah? Now, the question doesn't say, do you chew tobacco or do you smoke tobacco? It says, do you consume tobacco products? Very important. Chronic lung disease, like emphysema and bronchitis, stroke, heart disease, cancer, lung cancer, throat cancer, mouth cancer. These are the things that we need to think about when we're deciding to have a family, to be responsible. Okay? Oral cancer is becoming more of a problem. We're seeing more of it. Okay? These are real issues that need to be looked at and addressed by us, the parents, before bringing a child into the world. Okay? Our health must be considered. Our family history, past occurrences. I mean, just the other day, I had a client. I'm hurt. I'm hurt for the young man because based on past occurrences, he's unable to get a policy because he had some mental health condition that runs in the family. And he innocently got it by default. Okay, you've been in and out of institutions, rehabs. Now he's insurable. He's uninsurable because it's in his history. Condition, like a family member having a heart disease, a heart condition. Okay, we look at things like mental health concerns, and that you transfer that risk to the insurance company. If you have much running with the law, so there's a number of things that we need to take into consideration. We need to look at. Okay, there are simple issues. Whole life policies that can start from $7 a month for children below age 5. Okay? And I would say to you, I would encourage you, I would beseech you to take the time to insure your children today. Give me a call. Let me assist you with that, to put that financial stability and protection in place for your child and loved one, your dependent. You know, we have to look at the insurance company perspective. Someone said to me, why wouldn't the insurance company insure someone if they're out? Okay? Why wouldn't the insurance company insure someone if they have active criminal fines and penalties? Why would the insurance company insure someone that have a repossession on a car or a house? Because those people are high risk. Those simple things of everyday life. Because life happens, and we all agree life happens. Okay? We are so sure that these things will happen at some point in our life. It may never happen. But what if it happened to our child or children? We can look at uninsurable risks and lifetime benefits. However, lifetime benefits may be capped and premium may be expensive. Uninsurable risk is a condition that poses an unknowable or unacceptable risk of loss for an insurance company to cover. An uninsurable risk is a condition that poses an unknowable or acceptable risk of loss for an insurance company to cover. An uninsurable risk could include a situation in which insurance is against the law, such as covering for criminal or criminal penalties. So even in legislation, don't allow them to do it. So it's not the company. The company hands are tied, depending on your circumstances. That is why before you say all is lost and you can't get any insurance, you're not insurable. You're not able to protect your family. You give me a call or we will sit down and look at multiple carriers, multiple insurance carriers, multiple ways of what we call in the insurance company their sweet spots. Every insurance company have their sweet spots, type of coverage, the type of people, the type of risk they're willing to take. Okay? That is my job. I know that very well. I study that. I study what the insurance company likes, what the insurance company don't like, and you either fit or you don't fit. There's no way around it. There is no not telling. This is the information age. Everything is on the computers. Everything is in somebody's database somewhere, and everyone knows everything. Okay? Now, for if you're looking, if you're between age, 50 to 85, okay? If you're between age 50 to 85, there is some consideration for you, providing your height and weight, you know. There is guaranteed issue policies that you can have as an adult. But a child or a young adult under the age of 30 backwards, 99% of the time is not able to get life insurance. They're not insurable. They're not insurable. They can get a death benefit. It's going to be through the roof. They can get a policy that that they'll have a funeral, but they won't be leaving anything other than just that, what they can afford for a funeral. And with inflation, we see that everything is going up. What inflation rate is going to be now? What inflation rate is? What's the cost of a funeral today? What will it cost tomorrow to have that same cremation or burial of our loved ones? So we need to be very concerned about it. We have to think about our young ones. We have to be very, 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 very sensitive to juvenile diabetes. Okay, if nothing else, okay, we will call it the small one for all intents and purposes. Juvenile diabetes is on the rise. The stats, the numbers on juvenile diabetes is not pretty. In the past 3 years, juvenile diabetes have been up there. And as we all know, diabetes come with its fair share of problems. It's a chronic condition, okay, where the body produces little or no insulin on the babies, okay? So, we have to look at it. We have to think about it. We have to look at the warning signs, and I'm no doctor, but this stuff is readily available on the internet. We need to look at our loved ones. You can Google it. You can look at it. You can look at your young ones, our babies, to see what they're doing, how much sweets they're consuming. But diabetes don't only come from sweets. It's a myth that you get diabetes from sweets, okay? There's a number of other reasons. There's a number of other ways you can get diabetes. And I guess, again, I'm not a doctor, but we as parents, we need to look at the risk factors. We have to look at family history. for you know, where your child is at. Look at your child's body. Look at the process. How frequently they are being thirsty. How often they've been urinating. I mean, there's a number of things that we can look at to determine what is happening with our children and what could happen in the future. So we need to think about those things. Think about how we're going to make our children insurable and make sure that they can continue their life going forward as a normal life as it would be, whatever normal is. But being able to transfer the risk to an insurance company is a very nice thing to do, because there is some light at the end of the tunnels. I mean, when you have living benefits on your on your policies, you know, as a child get older and become more ill, unable to work or continue daily activity, that child will be able to be covered and be financially compensated to either to go into a care facility or bring the care facility to the comfort of their own home by having a living benefit. So these are things that we need to consider, okay? An uninsurable risk could include situation which insurance company have little knowledge about it, and they make a decision based on the information provided. They don't know everything. They have specialists in their organization that looks at stuff on their behalf, and, you know, it's human. People make mistakes, okay? There's learning disabilities. There is learning disabilities, dyslexia, okay? Dyslexia. Okay, there's a number of disabilities that a child can develop, yeah? There is things like SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, okay? Sudden infant death syndrome. There can be the child become overweight, obesity, okay? There is Osgood's splatter disease, inflammation of an area just below the knee that causes pain. Okay? There is juvenile arthritis. There's a number of conditions that, and I can go on and on and on all night about conditions that a child could develop during that time of between 0 to 18, okay? I have a bit of bad news to share. For those of you who are familiar with mental health, well, we've seen lately that there's a upswing in mental health in children, young adults. Unexplained, okay? But how many parents can recognize mental health illness in children and make serious, conscious decisions to get that child help? How many parents accept that their child or children are suffering from a mental health condition? It's typically being seen in the child behavior. How much of us accept that and go and get help for our children? Mental health is very common among children. Mental health is very common among children, and it's in the stats. I can tell you, I didn't write the stats, but according to what I'm reading, it's showing that mental health is very common amongst children ages 13 to 18. teenage years. And without treatment, mental health disorder can become more severe and become more difficult to handle. Now, I'm sure none of us want to have a child born or we knowingly give the child a mental health condition. We have our children because we love them. We have our children because we want to grow our loins and have our offspring. Okay? But the question is, when a child is under 15 years old, they get a number of exposures, okay, to viral illness like chicken pox and the flu, you know, to name a few. But those same conditions like chicken pox and the flu, if not properly taken care of and handled, can damage the liver and the brain. And that's coming from UNICEF, childhood disease. Not me, I'm not making it up. I have done my research. Okay? Children losing their sight. Frail and fragile bones. They weren't born that way. Okay? What we don't look at, premature infants. How do we protect them? What can happen, what is likely to happen to a child that's born premature? What can happen to a very young child, an infant, especially those who are 6 months and younger? What kind of effect it can have on their life in the future as they grow older? Children with weakened immune systems. How about children younger than 2 years old with chronic lung disease or congenital? Heart disease. So we have to, and this is just to name a few. It's not to scare you. It's not to make you annoyed. It's to make you aware. It's to make you aware. It may not happen in your house. It may not happen in your household. But it may be someone that it's affecting that you know. It breaks my heart every day that I look at it and I think about it when they talk about pediatric cancer, childhood cancer. The United States arbitrarily adopted standard of the age used for pediatric cancer is 0 to 14 years old inclusive. Okay? This is up to 14 years old. It used to be 11 years and 9 months of age. It used to be 11 years and 9 months. Now it's stretched to 14 years of age. What about a childhood tumor of the kidney? Okay? What happens when that happens? What about malignant cancer cells that form in the tissues of the kidneys. When is that detected? When is that seen? Okay. What about the child that doesn't have the opportunity to live what we would call a normal childhood? What about child that has skin cancer? Childhood skin cancer. Lung cancer. So, my friends, my listeners out there in Radio Land, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to make you feel like you're not a good parent. You are a good parent. What I would ask you this evening is to consider protecting that child from now. That 30-year-old that shared that story with me broke my heart. But her parents had the vision, that sixth sense, was educated enough to take all that life insurance for her, that she was able to be covered, have some sort of coverage in her later years. And I say to people, take out as much as you can afford, as much as the insurance company will insure you for, because you will have a time in your life when you wouldn't be able to take out and afford the amount of coverage you can have when you're younger, you're much younger. There's multiple policies. There's different type of policies that can carry you into your golden years. And you can enjoy multiple benefits from those policies. Okay? The benefits clearly outweighs the risk. It's most important when you look at it, you have the protection. And I beg everyone, I beseech everyone, okay, to have a policy. Gone are the days when insurance policies only pay when you die. Those days are long gone. Gone are the days when insurance policies only pay when you die. Insurance policies pays when you are seriously ill, chronically ill, critically ill, terminally ill, both for adults and children. If you don't have a policy that pays out when you are sick or you lost function and not able to work, then you need to give me a call so we can look at your situation and see what we can do to fix that for you. Okay, if your policy have a long-term care, okay, we have to look at living benefits in your policy, okay, so you can enjoy some of your labor, the fruits of your labor that you have paid or your parents or your grandparents have paid into that policy before you expire. Is just not a debt benefit. And we need to understand that. We need to take those things into consideration. Okay? we need to know where we are and where we stand. So I think that everyone should look at it carefully, think about it tremendously, about what is happening in our day and age, our food, are not the same like they used to be many years ago. Some say they're better, some say they're worse. My darling there and I have talked about a number of things, including the amount of consumption of water and less or no starchy foods and less or no sugar or, lifestyle changes that will benefit us in the future. Now, I can't say that I don't enjoy certain or most, if not all, aspect in the of the conversation, but it goes back to show that we have made decisions that are not so pleasant. We all make them. Some of us have cheesecakes and some of us have pizzas, and they taste good. I'm not gonna knock it. Some of us enjoy a good steak. Yeah, but let's look at what happens after. What happens to us later down in life, okay? And when we make lifestyle changes, okay, when we make lifestyle changes, it can be very helpful. But if we make the lifestyle changes after we develop the condition, then the damage is already done. The damage is already done. So the lifestyle change is good to help us live a long life, but it hampers us in the future of our legacy, okay, and what we can do for our young ones. What if we are parents, we don't want to think about our children leaving us? But do it happen every single day? What happens when that happens? Okay? What happens when that happens? So we need to think about that. We need to consider it. We need to know what we're doing. And we need to protect against it. We need to look at what happens when that child decides to go to school. We need to look at what happens when that child decides to go to college or decide to get married. What are we going to do as parents? How are we going to support our loved ones as parents? Okay? We need to look at that. What provisions are we making for our children, for our loved ones, and their future? So tonight's episode is strictly talking about money for our children, for our loved one, putting away for their future and having them being in the unique situation of being insurable. I know there's a number of people that have their own thoughts about insurance and having insurance for children. I may bear the same sentiments. Who wants to profit from the loss of their children? Who wants to profit from the loss of their child or children? No one. No one wants to profit from the loss of their child or children. What does that mean? That it could never happen? It would never happen? Does that mean that that child will never get ill? These are things we need to look at. Now, last week I put in the chat last week I put in the chat a website, and I will be putting more websites from time to time. But I want you to follow me, and let's learn about money together. I want you to look at the chat. That you can go on there, you can do your own quotation, you can see what you're qualified for, what your loved ones are qualified for, and you can make an informed decision. Maybe you need to speak to the grandparents, maybe you need to speak to the other parent. We don't know. You speak to who you have to speak to in order to get that child covered and protected. It's very important that we have protection for our children. And moreover, make sure that our children are insurable as they grow older. We have to make sure that that's a possibility. We have to give our children an opportunity, the chance to live and be happy like any other child. Should something happen. Now, we're not saying something is going to happen, but we're being prepared just in case something do happen. So with this, I'm going to take a very brief break, or water break as I call it, and I'll be right back shortly. Have your pens and pencils out for our next segment as we talk more about money and what we can do. This is very important that we get an understanding as to where we are, where we need to be, where we can be, and what's available to us and our loved ones. Okay? All is not lost because we don't have it now. It's not too late to put it in place. It's not too late to put it in place. Our children needs us. Our children believes in us. We are the one that's set to guide them today, tomorrow, and in the future. They will take this guidance from us. They will pass it on to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. And they will pass it on for generations to come, remembering you for that good parent, that good grandparent, that set the tone of their future. Hearing this and failing none, I would like to share with you. In the next segment, we'll get a little more deeper into the conversation, financial legacy that we can leave for our loved ones, and having them remember us long after we're gone, long after we're gone. Because you, the parent, are in control. You determine and dictate when that child or children, offspring or dependent, will get that money that you see fit to leave for them, however you create it.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA, saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or both. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Welcome back to our show. Welcome back to our show. Let's learn money. Let's learn money. I'm your host, Eugene Bias. Here every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. on Block Talk Radio. Live on Facebook discussing money and how we can earn money. Save money and make a better life and future for our loved ones. Now, someone asked me about the pros and cons of having a life insurance for a juvenile life insurance. Well, there are some companies that would agree with some parents that says that they don't want to get rich at their children's demise. Those companies would limit you to $50,000, $70,000, $75,000 on a child, and so on and so forth. Different companies have different limits. But I have a whole life policy, for a company that has aged 14 days to 17 years with a benefit amount ranging from $5,000 to $50,000, you can get, okay, on a one-year-old male, $25,000 just costs $10 per month, $10.02 per month to be exact, okay? And that policy has a guaranteed insurability rider, which means that when that child meets age 18, that child can convert that policy to an adult policy, whereas they can have higher limits without proving insurability, without having to talk about medical, without doing medical examination. The medical questions are out, okay? $10 a month. Okay, $10 per month. So it is that small of an amount, okay, $10, and if my math is right, $120.24 a year, you can get a whole life policy, bare bone whole life policy for your child. Bare bone, okay? Now, if you want to add, it's like a car, you know. You get the basic car, and then you can add on to the car. You want leather seats. You want heated seats. You want night vision rear view mirrors. You add on, and it all adds up, okay? You can get higher policy amounts if you went with a term life, okay, when the child becomes older. But you can do what's called lathering. You can do a small policy, then take out a bigger policy. Then as the child gets older, take out a bigger policy, okay? There's a number of different ways you can do it that I am fully aware and conscious about, and I am there, okay? It's not available in every state. It's not available in all states, okay? I'm not licensed in every state or in all states, okay? But I'll be able to help you, okay? Point you in a direction, refer you to my colleagues that can help you achieve the goals that you're looking for, okay? The pros of having this is the excellent financial strength and the customer satisfaction, how you will be satisfied to know that if anything happens to your loved one, your dependent, your loan, they're covered, they have coverage to take them to the next level, to take you to the next level. Okay, no one can tell you how long it takes to mourn the loss. No one can tell you. But your finances, your obligation, your daily obligations, your monthly bills, how long you grieve. Because you can't sell from work but so long if you don't have the money to cover your expenses. Because long after your loved one have expired, long after they're expired, you still have your day-to-day monthly expenses and bills to meet. Your responsibilities. Okay? One, the pros that there's no waiting period. There's no waiting period. And you can take whatever portion of the policy you want. Whatever portion, you pay for exactly what you get. It's quick. It's online quoting and online approval. So the kids can get covered. The children will be covered. The children will be happy in time to come. Okay? Now, a lot of us use certain companies and don't even know that those companies have insurance companies or invest in insurance company or back insurance companies. Okay? A lot of us don't know that. We think that we just buy the food or the product from the company for our child because it's good for our child, or we like the product or the taste of the product. Okay? What about college planning? Okay? Do you have an endowing life insurance policy that contains adult life insurance with a college savings component for your child, where your child is guaranteed to receive a payout at the end of the term? You want to know more? Give me a call. Give me a call and I'll teach you. I'll show you. Okay? There's companies out there that have college plan as an endowment life insurance policy that combine the adult life insurance with a college saving component for your child. Think about it. Think about it. Now, let me ask you guys, how many of you know about a 529 plan? What is a 529 plan? And I'm sorry, this is tonight, I'm focused on children. I'm getting a number of questions, and I'm going to acknowledge the questions, but I won't be answering those questions tonight, unless it pertains to children. I'm very passionate about tonight's episode. Very passionate about tonight's episode. It's special. All our kids are graduating high school. They're leaving elementary, going to middle. They're coming home from college. We have to start planning. When are we going to start planning? And tonight is our planning night. And we're planning from age 0 to age 18. That's what tonight is about. And that's what I want. I'm passionate about this, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. How many children do we have? How many parents do we have that does not have what we would call things in place for their children, for their loved one, for the offspring? A 529 plan is a method for saving to pay for a student higher education course during their lifetime while obtaining potential tax savings while doing so. You get a tax savings. Education savings and prepared tuition plan exist. It do exist. Both with tax advantage and different terms. So talk to your financial advisor. Give me a call. Let's talk about a 529 plan. The best 529 plan for students depends on where they live and the flexibility needed for the owner of the plan. The plan offers low fees while providing good, reliable performance for the students. Some of these accounts provide customized features to allow contributors to achieve specific goals or needs. Okay? There's a couple 529 plans that are out there, okay, that we don't look at, we don't think about for our children. There's a couple of 529 plans that are really good. Who takes advantage of 529 plans? Put it in the chat. I can help you with that. College savings, college planning. Okay? You got to be able to invest into our young ones to give them a bright start, for them to have a brighter future. There's a number of different 529 plans. Many of you don't know what a 529 plan is, never heard about it. A 529 plan is so important. There are two types of 529 plans that allow you to contribute in different ways. A, you can do prepaid tuition, which allows you to purchase tuition in advance, locking in the tuition cost and rate now. Well, how many people knew that? An education savings plan allows you to save funds in an investment account for a future student. That's the beneficiary, the future student. The use to pay for eligible higher, they have to use it to pay for eligible higher education expense. So where are we? Choose to do it now, or we can choose to do it later. But later comes with its fair share of later problems. Now, let me say this, and I'm speaking to parents, grandparents, godparents. A 529 plan is typically established by you, the parents, the grandparents, the godparents, on behalf of a child, a grandchild, a godchild. It's designed to help you save for future college expenses and take advantage of potential tax savings. Before you invest in this, you got to remember this money will be there for the long run. As you may be charged a fee if you need to make an early withdrawal. How many children are not able to go to college, university, get a higher education because they don't have the financial aid that they need, or they don't want to take on the financial responsibility or they're not in a, they don't have the ability to do so. We need to look at it. We need to be passionate about it, and we need to do something. Okay, I'm being selfish tonight, I know. And the person that sent me that message, I am being selfish. Because I need, and we're going to have continual segments on this topic, because this is the time when school are closing, graduations are happening, children are traveling back home from school, children are making college decisions to go to school, children are getting accepted into colleges, and we're seeing the financial burden that they're left with at the end of their college life. Let's sit down and plan together the future for our children. Let's think about the tax advantage that we can have for doing it. Okay? Why don't we have a budget in place, and it's so smooth, for our children's future education? And we can dictate when we do it. Okay, you choose not to go to college. I know that question is coming. What if the child chooses not to go to college? What if the child chooses not to go for higher education? What happens? The money grows until you stop it from growing for your great-grandchildren. Because 99.99% of the time, that child is going to have a child. And when that child have a child, then the money is there, because the money is allocated, dictated by you for child's education, for the future of your loin to have a higher education, a better education, an equal to or better education than you have. Now, some of us, we are able to save consistently. Some of us don't have that discipline. Some of us were able to save consistently, but then life happens. Something happens. Okay? We need to think how we're going to contribute. Are we going to contribute a lump sum per year when we get our tax return? Or are we going to make small amounts of contribution every month? Come back to our original conversation. Savings, our saving power, making our loin, our offspring, our dependents, a part of our savings. So if we're saving 20% of our income, what percent are we putting towards the 529 plan for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren? Okay? You can have a combination of investment vehicles and financial methods that will probably work best when trying to come up with the money for your child's college education. So be sure to take advantage of any tax deductible or tax deferred method that you're eligible for. Sit with your accountant. Sit with an accountant. Gone are the days when you had the guy or the lady doing your taxes for you. There's many CPAs, certified public accountants. There's many people like myself, financial advisors, that can sit with you and look at different plans that you can put in place. Prepaid tuition plan, investment plan, 529 plans for your offspring and your loin. What about an ESA, ESA savings for your child? Okay, let's talk. Let's get it out there. This is a financial talk. Let's talk finances. We're talking finances for the juvenile. Okay? Look for a no-load mutual fund or exchange or trade funds with very low cost. Diversification. Diversify the savings for your young one. Have a little bit of IUL here. You know, you can have an IUL. You can look at a Roth IRA. You can have a 529 plan. You can look at both 529 plans. Okay, there's things that you can look at. There's no money to purchase or to sell. Then, consider the fund expense ratio. Do they have an annual cost? What is the percentage of the asset? What is the low ratio? Now, that's when you're talking to me and we're speaking the numbers game, okay? We talk about numbers. That's what I talk about, numbers. I enjoy the numbers game because the numbers don't lie. The numbers tell you exactly where you need to be and what you need to prepare for. Let's look at the three ways to decide how much to save. For college, you got to choose an end zone. So to choose the end zone, you look at where stats have you in terms of education. We parents, we decide what we want our children to do, but our children wake up with a different version of life. We want our children to be doctors and lawyers and attorneys. We want the best for our children, pilots, accountants. And our children come and turn around and says, I don't want to be that. I want to be in drama. Or I want to be a comedian. Does that mean that that child will not have a higher education? Does that mean that child should be at a disadvantage from the children or the other child that wants to be a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant or any professional career? Well, they're all professionals, and they all deserve equal treatment. Okay? Now, we could get into financial aid eligibilities and all that stuff. We're not there yet. We're talking about preparation. I find to financial aid usually is when there was something happened in life. Lack of knowledge or failure to plan. There's only two choices you have. Lack of knowledge or failure to plan. And I'm here tonight to share with you that I don't want my listeners, my viewers, to have a lack of knowledge. This is the time when we sit down and we discuss in great deal money and how we can protect our loved one, our offspring and our loin, so that they can be able to make a better life than we give them, a better life than we had, a better life than our parents had in the future. So we can be proud. Not proud because they got a degree. Proud because they went to the Yale, Harvard, Princeton. Not proud because they're a doctor, lawyer, accountant, engineer, to name a few. Proud to know that they went to school, got a higher education on my buck, the parent. This is a contribution I have made to them because I'm a parent who planned, who were prepared for their future, who were prepared for their higher education. who have saved and made that sacrifice month in and month out, year in and year out. Regardless of their medical condition, regardless of their health at the time, they have the ability. I just saw the other day a gentleman, 80 years old, graduated with a master's degree in engineering, 80 years old. We live in America, land of the free, home of the brave. We can go to school at any age. School doesn't close its door. Higher education does not close its doors. You show interest, they will take you in. I think that a 529 college savings plan should be at the top each and every parent, grandparent, godparent list of wanting to save for their loved one's education. Wanting to save for their loved one's education. While there are some rules to follow, the tax benefit and ownership flexibility of these plans may then be worth it. It'll be worth it. Have a discussion with your accountant. That's why I ask everyone when they come on the call to bring a book and a pen. Because many of us don't know half of the things that we discuss here. And this is real money. This is real savings. We spoke about IULs. We spoke about milestone savings. Now we're talking about college savings. We're speaking about future. Plus, you will eventually have the satisfaction of seeing the student you helped walk across the stage and receive a diploma come graduation time. If anyone can show me a parent, a grandparent, that is not proud, that is not happy to see their loved ones, their child, their grandchild, walk across the grass of a graduation and receive a diploma. Please, please tell me. Please. I beg of you, share that with me. I would love to know that. How many of us have even considered or established a bank account for our children, our loved ones, our offspring? I am very fond of doing it at a very young age, of having a bank account for all my children. I believe in that. All my children, as long as they have their 6-month mark of life, I open a bank account for them. As a parent, as a guardian, they must have a guardian account. Okay? I teach them from a young age money, how money works, what it is to have a bank account, what it is to save money, what it is to spend money, what is if you don't have money, what if you don't save money? I mean, my kids will tell you that daddy used to be very crude on a Saturday. So I brought my kids down to the business. I brought them down to the business. Let him see how daddy worked for money. Let him see what we do How did I earn that money? What is happening for them? I let them know you have to go to the bank. I give them the allowance. Not for them to spend. I can buy whatever they want. I'm their father. I don't want them to tell me about their spending power. I'm not interested. We enjoy the luxury of talking about their saving power. You know, someone said to me once, it says, your daughter to be a doctor, she needs a car. And I smiled. I said, so? She needs a car. Let her go get a car. She went on and she got a car. But when she get the car, make her own payment, get a job. I started working at 16. Let her get a job. Let her start paying for the car. Let her show me she's responsible enough to have that car. And after 1 year, and I didn't care, I didn't listen to none of the stories of successfully paying for that car, I looked at her and says, Daddy love you. You don't have to make any more payments. I pay off for the car. I took care of it because she showed me she was responsible enough. And that's what we have to teach our children, responsibility, finances, how it works. How many of us walk our children into the bank and tell them to fill out a deposit slip? Now, some people say I hate direct deposit. I don't hate direct deposit. I hate the new banking world because it takes away from our children. How do our children learn about money? Now they're making it. Georgia have done it. Florida have done it. I think three other states have done it. They're making finance, day-to-day finance, part of the curriculum for graduation in high school. The high school student must take a finance class in order to graduate because it's a problem. And we parents need to take it in hand and handle it with our children in our own home. I would embark that on this journey with you, and I need you guys to listen to me carefully. If a minor plans to open an account with an adult, consider the financial knowledge, longevity, and ethics of that adult. If a minor plan to open an account with an adult, consider the adult's financial knowledge. What do they know about money? How could they handle money? Longevity and ethics before doing so. The child has to pick the right person the first time. Pick the right person the first time that can improve their chances of success. You know who that right person is? You, the parent. You, the parent. Let your children make good financial decisions by you teaching it to them. Their best teacher. Their best teacher are you, the parent, the grandparent, the godparent. Because you see, When you open an account with a minor, you have many options. Okay? You have to want that just thinks about financial goals that you want to reach for the minor. Okay? You never, ever, ever want to lead the child. Get a discussion with the child. Okay? So what I suggest, or what I have done, is we have the conversation. Now, I know what we're going to have. We're not going to have a debit card to the account. So we're physically going to have to go to the bank. That's number one. The account will never be linked to none of my accounts because I'm never going to transfer any funds to that account. Never. That account must be marked a kid's account. All of the different types. Okay? And I make sure that that kid understand to count their money. How many parents sit down and have the discussion, the harsh, ugly discussion with their parents, with their children? It's harsh. It's ugly. I agree. Every time live money goes into your hand, you must count it. There's a saying that goes with it. Trust no one. Check everything. It's sad, but it's the dangerous world we're living in. I share that with my children all the time. Unless it's digital, count it. Don't give me a pile of money and say, oh, you got $100 there. I walk away. I ain't that busy. Let me count it. Let me see the 100. It's not you, it's me. I might lose something. I might drop some of it. Have that conversation with your child. You don't want to have an account with a child and the owner for the account is an adult and the adult goes and drains the account for the child. Let's think about that. Which parent is going to do it? Which grandparent is going to do it? What psychological effect it would have on that child to know that they have the account and the parent drains the account from under their feet? Okay? Equally so, you don't want to give the child full access to the account for the child to be able to drain the account as and when. Maintain a substantial balance in the account by constantly giving that child an allowance. Now, I tell people, don't give my child gifts in form of toys. They have enough. I can afford to buy it. Don't buy clothes for my children. Thank you. I can afford to buy it. Give them a card. But whatever you want to spend in the store, save your time and put in a card for my child. I wouldn't look down at you. I wouldn't think any differently of you. Because I want to put that money, I want that child to know that I had a birthday and I received $150 or $100 from my godmother or $200 from my godfather. I want that child to know that I'm 16 years old and I buy a car because my godfather contributed, my godmother contributed, my grandmother contributed. I'm the parent. I can feed the child. I can clothe the child. But we have to look at these things. The children are winding up with a lot of toys. A lot of toys does little or nothing for them. Little or nothing for them. Where are the children's future? Everyone went to the information age. Every child has a tablet. Every child is learning ABC Mouse and all the other platforms that's out there that's teaching the children. I agree. But at what point, at what stage in our life, we the parents make the harsh decision to say, I know what my child is doing. I know where my child education is going. I know how I'm funding the education of my child and the future of my child. Where the children don't have to depend on the government, and I don't have the stats on it, to eliminate their debt, their student loan debt, like the current President Biden is doing. We have to keep in mind that each joint account owner might have ownership and complete access to the account, to the funds in the account. So we got to think about who's going to drain the account, who's likely to drain the account. That don't mean they are going to drain the account. Okay, we got to think about these things and put things in place. You know, we got to think about depositing money into a custodian account, an irrevocable transfer to the child. You cannot get it back. It goes to the child. It can't come back from the child. And the funds must be used for the benefit of the child, of the minor. That's a custodial account. Okay? An education savings account, ESA, as we talk about, it helps to pay for the education with tax-favored dollars. But not everybody's eligible to contribute to an ESA account. Plus, the maximum amount of contribution for ESA is fairly small. Unless you start at an early age and supplement the funds with other sources of money. Type 29 savings account. You can do $10,000 per year from K, which is 5 years old, kindergarten, to 12-year-old. And then you have the prepaid methods. So, yes, I'm sorry to be selfish tonight, but it's most profound to know that a lot of parents does not have the ability or the understanding of what it takes to save. Now, I didn't wake up knowing this, so please, by no means, feel that I wake up being an expert. I was not an expert. I've learned this over the years, over time, and I have things in place for my children and grandchildren using these methodologies. And they work. I must say, they work. There's rigid rules on some accounts, and I always go for the rigid rules because I don't like when money is easily accessible, because we must learn to live and have discipline not to trouble that money. Okay? Our accounts, we have to look at it at the end because there's financial aid variations that we need to take into consideration. But if we plan early, we have less or no financial aid responsibilities for our youngsters. The earlier we start building assets, the earlier we start building assets for our loved ones, is the lower cost we have in the long run. Okay, the lower cost. So yes, I encourage you to start at a very young age. The law allows the banking industry to go as slow as 14 days of birth. How many parents can say to me that they have a life account, life insurance account, a savings account for their child from birth? Early start to building assets. Do you know that it has its tax benefits to do so, to transfer assets to loved ones while maintaining temporary control of the assets? It has its tax benefits Talk to your accountants. Okay? Tell them about the 529 plan. Let them tell you about other plans that's available where you don't have to take financial aid or get financial aid for your child. Be careful. Not only the parents or the guardian can open a custodian account. The grandparents can do it. Other family members or even friends can open or contribute to the account. I think it's a rather fine conversation. When you give a deposit slip or a bank account number with London Research Sort code, here you see a routing number for your child. I took great pleasure in doing that. If you would like to give the child something for birthday, Christmas, yada, 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 here is the account. Send it to their account because I'm already providing for them. I'm already giving them. It's my job. It's my duty. I don't need a subsidy. I don't need a handout. But if you'd like to do something nice for the child, you can do that directly for the child using the information for the child so the child's future is protected. And that legacy is being placed there for the future of the child. Never to be changed. So we need to take these things into consideration. We need to think about these things, okay? We have to look at things like gift taxes, Kendall taxes, okay? Talk to your local tax advisor and ask them about it. Are you paying too much in taxes? Is your tax bracket very high? Do you have a family attorney? Talk about legal pitfalls in giving money or holding money or not giving or not withholding money for your child's future. Think about your estate and transferring your assets to your children. I did it. And I'm happy because my asset is protected. So we need to understand what we're doing. We need to know what we're doing, and we need to continue what we're doing to protect our young ones. Especially when large sums of money are involved, it is wise to consult a professional advisor before making any financial decision on behalf of your children. Hello. Hello. Give me a call. Minors can develop valuable skills that they need throughout their adulthood. And getting an early start often helpful. Children can enjoy the convenience of having their own account. We need to think about these things, my friends. We're talking about money. We are learning money as an adult. Let's learn it as a child. Let's learn it as we were younger. Let's teach our children this. Let's learn and teach our children so that they are in the unique situation where they know it, they have it, they can teach our grandchildren. And it goes on and on that way. We have to be able to look at stuff like that, think about how we're going to put things in place. We got to look at how we're going to put things in place So we must look at it. We have to think about it. And we got to look at how we put it in place. Because it's very important that our loved ones are aware so that they could teach their children. They can have their children sharpen their pencils of knowledge on money. It's relatively easy to open a bank account for a minor. Although banks typically require an adult. To do it. Before opening a bank account, we need to think about alternative standard bank account and resource that's available to our children or offspring on our loan. Okay? We talked about IULs. What is the goal here? Okay? We talk about dumping money into savings plan. Okay? There's different savings plans we can dump money into. Okay? We don't want to give everyone our children's IUL information. It's a digital world out there. Many things happen out there. Okay? So we want to have an account, a regular account, that need to be able to have access to. And then we can transfer the money into IUL as it builds up. Parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, siblings, godparents, they might want to make regular transfers into their loved one's account, their kid's account. It'll go into that account, and then you, the parent, can now instruct them to move it to the IUL and earn higher interest on the money. So the truth is, most people in the 20s or 30s have no problem getting a good insurance, a good term insurance. Most people. But that's the baby rearing age. That's when we have our children. 20s, 30s, 40s. We start to, go downhill. You know, life started to change. Life happened. We start looking in the opposite direction. We need to educate our 20s and 30-year-olds. We need to let them understand that we need to plan for the future of our grandchildren and our children. We need to buy life insurance for our children and grandchildren. We need to have things in place for their future, okay? Even if it's a limited amount. We do need life insurance for children. Life insurance primarily help dependents cover their bills when the breadwinner expires, dies. Assuming no one depends on them financially, your children don't need coverage. No one depends on children financially. While it's true that life insurance rate goes up as you age, it's unlikely that your child will get good pricing out of or denied of a policy if becomes ill, critically or terminally ill. Well, they miss chronic. Critical, terminal, and chronically ill during the juvenile years. So we don't know when the child is going to become ill, but we plan to have children. And part of the planning to have a family, we need to plan for these unforeseeable circumstances. Put rigid rules in place. Rigid rules in place because we know what teenagers are like. They know the money is there and they want to know. And they want to spend. And they come up with all the expenses and criteria to spend. my friends, I am not sorry that I took the whole 2 hours of discussing the welfare, the well-being of minors. I am not sorry that I dedicate this episode, and there will be future episodes, on children. This is a time, in my opinion, that our children, our loved ones, our offsprings are coming home from college. They're graduating high schools, going to college and universities. And this is important that we make sure that we know what's going on with them and their future by preparing that legacy for them. I'm your host, Gene Bias. On Block Talk Radio, this is my financial talk. Let's learn about money. This is bringing our episode, today's episode, to a conclusion, to be continued next week and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Facebook and Block Talk Radio, Facebook Live. I thank you all for joining me and being part of our program. Have a great night and enjoy.
EHB Services, LLC, for all of your financial needs. We are a licensed brokerage with years of experience in the financial industry. Let's discuss your financial DNA. Saving for college, planning for your retirement, preparing for milestone birthdays, and significant investments such as house, car, or both. Call Gene at 855-411-0424. You can also follow him on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.